Hi, this is Daniel Garber at the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. As Rome burns and Europe crumbles and Wall Street is preoccupied and the planet is teetering on the brink, all eyes are on Asia. So now's your chance to get a feel of things going on across the Pacific. The Real Asian Film Festival, real as in real to real, Asia as in East and Southeast Asia, is now on in Toronto and is showing great new popular festival and experimental movies from that region as well as some Canadian films. That means dramas, comedies, documentaries, anime, shorts, and there are also lectures, workshops, and master classes for actors, scriptwriters, and producers, even events where you can pitch your own movie proposals. So this week, I'm going to talk about films from Japan, Korea, China, Hong Kong, and Vietnam. First, Bleak Night, directed by Yoon Sung-hyun. So this is a movie about a group of three friends at a private boys' high school in Korea, only they're not exactly all that friendly. One is the undisputed leader of the gang, and he lords it over the rest of them. He's more of a bully than a friend, and pressures and intimidates the others, releases secrets, and tries to influence it. They all go along with him. The counters turn into physical abuse and name-calling. "You're my bitch," he says, but no one questions him. It's not until one boy stands up to him and even tries to sever the friendship that the power dynamic shifts and the pressure builds. I like Bleak Night, but I feel it got bogged down with a slow-moving plot and too many scenes with 10-minute-long two-man conversations about what happened to them and what they really mean to one another. Next, Full Metal Alchemist, directed by Murata Kazuya, based on the comics by Arakawa Hiromu. If you've never seen Japanese anime before this, it's a good place to start. But keep in mind, anime are based on manga, and so they have very long and complex plots with tons of past references and ongoing twisted storylines. This movie is a chapter in a long saga, takes place in a fantasy setting that looks sort of like the American Southwest in the 1930s, except countries under martial law. So Ed is the Full Metal Alchemist of the title. He's a master scientist come magician with bionic limbs made of steel. That's the full metal. He teams up with his rival Crichton, his sister Julia, and her robot in order to learn the secrets of Milo's Valley, the secret religion, and find the stars of fresh blood and any clues that'll bring them closer to the philosopher's stone. Well, I don't want to give it away, but go now and learn. Next, Saigon Electric, directed by Stéphane Gauger. Mai, an innocent girl from the sticks, comes into Ho Chi Minh City to make it as a dancer, but she's strictly old school. She doesn't wear makeup and doesn't have a fashionable haircut or city clothes, and her dancing style is traditional too, using a ribbon, no less. But then she falls in with tough girl Kim, whom she meets working at a restaurant. Kim's a break dancer who's being wooed by a rich guy whose family owns an expensive French restaurant. Kim hangs with her crew, Saigon Fresh, painting graffiti art on city walls, busting moves to American hip-hop, and challenging the Northern Killers to win the city championship so they can compete at the international contest in Korea. This is in communist Vietnam, by the way. They become close friends, and when Kim finds herself homeless, she moves into the room Mai rents from the Scarecrow, a grumpy old musician. Mai starts teaching ribbon dancing at the same community center where Kim is breakdancing with her crew, a place where orphans and homeless street kids find shelter. But trouble awaits. Kim and her boyfriend go off to a seaside hotel where he promises her the world, but back in the city, some rich, mean developers are threatening to close down the community center where they all hang out and turn it into a hotel. What's going to happen? Will all the characters find true happiness, or will all their dreams be lost? Will the club be closed down? This Saigon really is electric, shot in super saturated colors of people zooming around the city on motorbikes and skateboards. Even though it's an age-old story, I like this very modern but distinctly Vietnamese style, combined with a good dramatic plot and lots of that excellent 80s street dancing, with head spinning, sometimes even combined with classic Vietnamese drumming. Never saw that before. Next, Buddha Mountain from China, directed by Li Yu. Mrs. Chang, played by Sylvia Chang, a former Peking opera star living in the city Chengdu in Sichuan, is angry, hostile, bitter, and depressed ever since a tragic death in her family around the time of the big earthquake. But she decides to rent out a room in her house to three street-smart kids. Nanfeng, played by Fan Bingbing, is a pretty girl from a small town who can smash a bottle of beer in her forehead or kiss another girl on the lips, just for the hell of it. She's trying to earn a living as a bar singer. Fatso, played by Fei Long, is a chubby, round-cheeked guy who didn't get into university but likes practicing Michael Jackson's moonwalk as he looks for love. And Ding Bo, played by Chun Po Lin, is a self-centered but free-spirited youth with family troubles and with too much time on his hands. Three of them are adventurers, riding the rails, driving around town, rescuing each other from local gangs. Madam Chang, on the other hand, orders them around like they're her servants, and they steal from her and feel no guilt. It's a real generation divide. She looks down on them for their lack of culture, but for the kids, she's just a screeching fossil from a lost era. But when one of the characters almost dies, the others all rally around to help. They travel up to a Buddhist shrine on a mountain to repair the damages from the earthquake and perhaps to fix the damaged parts of their own lives. So Buddha Mountain is a beautiful, touching, interesting, and mainly realistic film about the rootless youth in contemporary urban China. Next, Amphetamine from Hong Kong, directed by Scud. So Kafka, played by Byron Pang, named after the Murakami novel, not the Czech writer, is a swim coach, a nude model, and a dyed blonde kung fu expert. His parents are dead, his brother's disabled, and he's nearly penniless, but he can still do a complete split and support himself with his feet on opposite walls. Then he meets Daniel, played by Thomas Price, a young and ambitious Cantonese-speaking financier working for an Australian multinational. Is it love? Kafka dumps his girlfriend when they seem to be falling for each other, even though it's a gay romance, the first one for both of them, and Kafka isn't sure he can handle it. But they go bungee jumping and living the high life, but when things go bad for poor Kafka, and he starts doing too much crystal meth, and he begins to lose his grip with reality, falling into strange dreams and scary flashbacks, and begins to think the white feathered wings he sometimes wears on his back for some reason means he can actually fly, things are bad. So is there love true? Can a poor but tough man accept the loving gestures of a Chinese Aussie millionaire? Definitely don't see this movie if you're at all comfortable with male nudity, since it's in practically every scene. I don't care if it's a street brawl, a love scene, a hospital, a mental ward, a police interrogation. They find some excuse to strip down. Okay, maybe not the bungee jumping scene, but other than that, it's naked, naked, naked. Amphetamine is unusual for a Hong Kong movie in that it's a stylized and partly dreamlike gay erotic melodrama about drugs. Saigon Electric, Buna Mountain, Bleak Night, and Full Metal Alchemist are all playing tonight through Sunday at the Real Asian Festival. Check the times at realasian.com. Amphetamine is also playing this weekend at another Toronto festival dealing with mental health and addiction. Check the times at rendezvouswithmadness.com. Also opening today is Lars von Trier's Melancholia, a two-part movie about a wedding with a bride heading towards disaster and a post-wedding depression with the whole planet possibly colliding with an asteroid called Melancholia. First part good, second part, eh. And Charlotte Gainsbourg as the bride's uptight beleaguered sister is such a letdown after her tour de force performance in Lars von Trier's last movie, Antichrist. This is Daniel Garber of the Movies for CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.